It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Yeah, I feel like we're getting so close to Tuesday, and especially since I voted yesterday, I feel like the moment is already here, and you got all kinds of confusing polling that continues to come out from some of these swing states. I mentioned Dan O'Donnell up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, a very important state. He's going to join us at 425 on 97.1 FM Talk. We'll get into some of that. Pennsylvania has very confused. Look, there's a few polls in, I would say, in Wisconsin, Michigan, and in Pennsylvania that certainly look like outliers. You have CNN polls that are giving Harris a 5-point lead in Michigan, maybe with a 6-point lead. And then the Quinnipiac poll that was released yesterday in Pennsylvania actually kind of flips things in the other direction, where they've had, in Quinnipiac, one of the bigger polling units out there, they've surveyed Pennsylvania four times in less than 3 months. So in mid-September, they had Harris up 5 over the majority mark, 51-46. 3 weeks ago, Harris still led by 2. And that matches up if you look at the Real Clear Politics average, which we kind of refer to. You aggregate the polls in Pennsylvania. She peaked at +1 in mid-September. If we're really being honest, that's probably the last time that she had really some good moments in the campaign, right after the debate with Trump. But she's been sliding in Pennsylvania ever since that moment. And she's, you know, when it comes to Trump, when it comes to the level of support, she's dropping. On September 20th, Harris had a 48.5% average in the aggregation. But then 1 month later, it dropped to 47.1%. And then it comes back to 47.6%. Now, that sounds like, you know, we're talking about tenths of a point, et cetera. It doesn't sound like a lot. But in states where these margins are going to be decided by just a few thousand votes, that's pretty serious. Now, what's driving that right now? That's the gender gap. So men back Trump 57-37%. Women back Harris 55-39%. In the October 9th poll, men back Trump, this is Quinnipiac too, men back Trump 52-41%. Women backed Harris 55-40%. So I don't think that those of you listening to those numbers will be able to crunch them this quick, but basically it comes down to this. Trump went from +11 with men to +20, and the split among women remained pretty much the same. Now, you can try to extrapolate from that. What I can say is that's looking pretty good for Donald Trump in Pennsylvania. Now, we don't know if the polling's accurate, right? But when I just look at all of these states right now and compare them to 2016 or 2020, she's going to need, look, even to win the popular vote, I'm not so sure she still won't win the popular vote. But to do that, she kind of has to win the race by 2.5-3 points. I don't think she's going to win by 2.5 or 3 points. So that raises all kinds of questions. But we'll get into it. We'll dig into the numbers here when we continue. I think Carl Cannon, we're having trouble getting him on the phone. Do we have Kurt right now? Kurt Barr, who is the elections director for St. Charles County, is with us this afternoon for some updates. My producer, Ethan, just said that his wife is trying to vote right now in long lines. Kurt, I know we've had some challenges out there. You don't have a lot of polling places, and one of the reasons is because you don't have enough poll workers. Is that true? Oh, let me pop them on there. Go ahead.
All right. Thanks for having me on. So, I mean, having enough staff to be able to manage multiple locations is one of the considerations that we had. So I'm already working with the county to help us to get an extra supervisor level person to help manage more satellite locations. But the main reason why we stuck with our two locations that we started with when the 2 weeks of voting early began was that until this election, the two locations were underutilized. So what we had done is in 2020, the high watermark was 2,600 voters. is we said, okay, let's assume the high water mark every day for 2 weeks, and let's staff and plan for that.
Right.
And that seemed like a reasonable thing since, you know, the last 2 years we've had very anemic voting in the early voting period. Well, something happened between the August election and November election where the public became very much aware of this process, and they decided to heavily utilize the early voting period. And, you know, we've been working to address the situation, you know, at the satellite location at Element Church. We, you know, increased our staffing there, increased our resources there, increased our ability to process people more quickly. We also went ahead and opened up that polling place for the Monday before the election. We haven't used it the Monday before the election previously, but we are going to this Monday have that place open. And then, of course, the Election Authority Office, we've worked a lot to relieve the traffic congestion issue that we've had here because we do have a small parking lot. So we have a shuttle bus that's been incredibly successful in ferrying voters from the crossing at Mid Rivers Church, which is just 5 minutes away from our building, to here and then back, so that, you know, we can reduce the number of cars trying to turn into our area. And then we, of course, have a team of parking attendants who are just moving cars in and out in a safe manner so that, you know, everybody has a chance to get in here safely and to be able to vote. And we've seen here an average wait time of about 30 minutes at the Election Authority Office. I haven't reached out to my satellite location, but
that's
yesterday,
not too bad, right?
The average time was about... No, it really isn't. Yesterday, the average wait time at the satellite location was an hour. So, yeah, I mean, they're
well, lying. That matches up with St. Louis County. Look, I waited 70 minutes all in, you know, yesterday. Basically 65 in line. Took me 5 to vote. I came in armed and ready and prepared. So that's not too far off. Now, what can you explain, because I'm not exactly, Kurt, dialed into some of the legal issues that have been raised here by some of the Republican committeemen. What is this about?
All right. So we have a process in law for the parties to have watchers and challengers at the polling place on election day. So a challenger is somebody who can watch the process of the voting, watch the voters get checked in, watch the election judges hand the ballots, and watch that whole process. The watcher is somebody who can observe the counting of the ballot and the counting of the absentee ballots at the Election Authority Office. And historically, we have always understood it because the law says, you know, on election day, that these two positions are for election day. Well, this election, we had one member of the Republican Central Committee say, hey, I want to be a challenger at the two early vote site locations. And we said, well, that's not how we understand the law, and we can't allow that. We did allow him to be a watcher on election day because, you know, he is a registered voter in St. Charles County. He has the right to do that. And there was some conversation. I'm like, well, you know, here's how we have always interpreted the law. Here's how legal has advised us to interpret the law. And so we can't do anything else. And they decided that, you know, the best course of action was to then, you know, go to the court and ask for a redress of grievance so that we would, you know, allow them to be a watcher. But in the redress, they said no voting can occur until we get our way, which... not a very good look on.
No,
on their part.
I would agree with you on that, because that's just going to cause more headaches for people who are trying to stand in these lines and vote. Right now, you do it, but you have a hearing tomorrow to determine what happens next.
Yeah. So that order was vacated by the judge that will hear the case tomorrow. So that you know, that order saying, hey, we're, you know, you can't be open, that order's been vacated. But we are going to go before the judge tomorrow. And the question is, here is our longstanding understanding that this challenger position is an election day only position. And the Republican Central Committee is saying it should be for early voting. And I don't disagree whether or not it should be for early voting. I'm just saying that's not what the law says.
Okay.
And so, you know, if the judge says no, you know, the law is more broad than our understanding, then we'll comply with the judge's order and allow them, you know, to be a challenger at the early vote site. But of course, we'll then reach out to the other party and say, hey, since the rules changed midstream, if you want somebody here as well to represent your side, you know, you can appoint somebody to be here as well. Because that's one of the things is, you know, we want both sides of the equation to have, you know, a chance for equal representation in the whole process of the election.
So bottom line here, as we get into the final few days, if you're in St. Charles County and you want to vote, you're trying to make sure that there's traffic accommodations and you're getting people through the lines. And as far as, I want to make sure I'm not missing any of this, as far as more locations, will that or will that not happen before Tuesday?
Well, Before Tuesday, no. We've expanded our operations at the locations that we have. But Tuesday, you know, St. Charles County, we have 104 different polling places. We have 1,000 election judges ready to go to help the voters. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for voters to get in and cast their ballot on Election Day if they don't have an opportunity to come in here either today, tomorrow, Friday, or Monday at the Election Authority office, or tomorrow or Monday at the satellite location.
Kurt, I saw like an estimate maybe 70,000 people would vote before Tuesday. Is that a pretty sound number at this point, do you think?
We're averaging over 5,000 people a day, and it looks like we are going to hit that number. Now, that number is crazy because that's how many people voted in the August election in St. Charles County.
That's a lot of people.
We will start Election Day November at a higher percentage, higher number of voters than we finished the August election.
And then my follow-up question to that would be, so then I know this is maybe hard to pin down, but then how many total people would be expected to vote in this election? It's better over
here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I still think that totally we'll have about 75% or roughly 225,000 voters. And originally I was estimating 25,000 early and then 200,000 election day. But now if we have nearly 70,000 election day, we're looking at more like 150,000 early. And that's roughly what we saw in 2020, because we had a 30% early vote rate with all of the by-mail voting that occurred in 2020 because of COVID. And so it looks like we're going to have similar numbers of early and you know, election day as we saw in 2020 in St. Charles County.
Okay, Kurt Barr, thank you. Keep us posted on everything that's happening there.
Will do. Thank you, Mark.
We appreciate it. That's crazy. Those numbers are very impressive. You know, a lot of people wanted to resist the early voting. That's not happening. I heard from Rick Stream yesterday. You know, I think he was on the air with us yesterday after the show. Let me see what he said, because his numbers in St. Louis County are really impressive as well. He gave me some updated numbers. He said, we had another record-breaking day. 21,000 people voted yesterday in St. Louis County. So, you know, there's probably another 20 that are doing that today, which is fascinating.
Oh, I'm sure.
Now, how this, you know, I think we got a lot of people here in our area that are very enthusiastic about voting. We're hearing that that's happening in Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, these other states as well. So fascinating stuff from both St. Charles County and St. Louis County. Unfortunately, we did not get Mr. Cannon on. We had some communication issues. We'll see if we can sort those out. But we'll take a break. We're coming back with more. Don't forget, Sue's News after 4. Dan O'Donnell from Milwaukee at 4:25. Scott Jennings, the legendary Scott Jennings, the rock star on CNN. He comes up at 5:07.
Get more at 971talk.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.